Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. One of my favorite memories from last year was with my church family. In May of 2014, I was Peter. Jim Vesper was James. Appropriate, right? Rachel Vesper was John. Hey, you've got a grandfather named John. It's okay. And Darlene Birch was Jesus, because she was the one that led us up the mountain, the high mountain, Mount LeConte. There, on top of the mountain, everyone became like Jesus. You know why? Not because we were transfigured into the sons of God, but because we were out of oxygen. And after lunch, after our packed lunch, we kind of revived ourselves and we all became like Peter and said, "How good, Lord, to be here." Having revived, that food gives you some perspective, doesn't it? After a long, hard hike. And then hiking up to the very top, we saw the greatest vista in the whole park. Oh, it was a beautiful day. Not a cloud in the sky. No cloud overshadowed us. It was a glorious sight. Before Lent begins this coming Ash Wednesday, God's Word brings us up a holy mountain to see a glorious sight before going down to the valley of the shadow of Lent. Soon, we'll hear Christians sing, "Come to Calvary's holy mountain, sinners ruined by the fall. Here a pure and healing fountain flows for you, for me, for all. In a full perpetual tide, opened when our Savior died." From glory today, Transfiguration Sunday, down to the darkness of Lent, with reminders like this coming Wednesday, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, and to dust you shall return. Those calls to repentance, those reminders of God's judgment, the wrath of God, and the cross of Christ. Until, once again, on Easter Sunday, when we all again get to sing, "Hallelujah, Christ is risen." That's really a picture of the trajectory of our life. Here today, glorious. Gone tomorrow, darkness. Then rising back to life, eternal. Life has its ups and downs, doesn't it? Life has its ups. Those rocky top mountain highs. Those transfiguration glimpses in the face of Jesus Christ. Life has its downs, where nothing seems good and right, where innocent people are plundered, where good friends are betrayed, and the only thing that seems unavoidable is pain or death. Jesus goes into that too, doesn't he? You see, the only thing that is constant in ups and downs of life is not God loves you from up on high, from far away. He'll see you through this. No, it's Jesus. He's been in the ups, transfiguration glory, up on the mountain high. And he's been in the valley low, in rejection, in depression, like one forsaken by God. He dwells on earth like a sinner underneath the law, though he is without the sin's nature. He suffers as a sinner, though not a sinner was he. He who once was transfigured, revealing himself to be God in the flesh to a select few, was also transformed into one who deserves death. As if he had done all things wrong himself, even calling himself God. Blasphemer, they said. Bill Cosby used to have this little comic show where he would imitate his wife during labor and delivery of their first child. Do you remember this? And remember what she said as she clenched her husband's bottom lip in her hand? You did this to me! Certainly it was a low moment right before a very high moment of a new life, right? Imagine we being the bride of Christ as his church, taking our God's lip in our unrighteous hand and making him experience the wrath of our pain and anger. God, you did this to me. Even as he had just planted something good in us who had sinned. A hope that gives birth to eternal life. God is not someone who lives on a different planet and sends a Valentine saying, hey guys, I love you. Or, hey guys, submit to me and I'll give you something in return, like 72 virgins. God is someone who came down to earth as a man, who can climb mountains, and who can climb crosses, and can be shut up in a tomb, dead as a sinner in your place. And that God's name is Jesus. We all want to see the transfigured God, eye to eye, like Peter, James, and John did. The whiteness of his clothes, the brightness of his face, Moses and Elijah bearing witness that, yeah, baby, this is the guy that we've been talking about, the Holy One. He fulfills the law and the prophets. He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. The voice from the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. But instead, most of our life is lived where and lived how? In the blindness due to sin. Not seeing Jesus. Only hearing about Jesus. As our final hymn confesses today, Alleluia cannot always be our song while here below. Alleluia, our transgressions make us for a while forgo. For the solemn time is coming when our tears for sin must flow. You see, what God did on that mountain for Peter, James, and John was gracious. He had to do what he typically does not do because he's holy in order to reveal something for us, something about his son. To do that, though, he had to temporarily overcome the blindness due to sin for Peter, James, and John, who will later betray Jesus, to show them how to live by faith no matter what, in a world, in a God that they cannot see 99% of the time. But a God that no less goes with them wherever they go, graciously, even when they sin. And yes, even in their place, he goes to Mount Golgotha, to Calvary's mountain, to die unexalted in their place. Justice is met with full payment. Until they see him risen from the dead and had minds opened up to the truth, that was God. Sin separates us from God. Sin blinds us, as God's word teaches us. The Savior sacrifices himself to reconcile us back to God. The Son of God opens our eyes and our minds so that we can see God face to face. The glory that we see is not just some mountaintop experience, a pigeon forge on steroids, a pleasure for your eyes like Mount Lecompte with my friends. It's the true glory of God. Seeing him face to face, the forever forgiving God, who gives all things over to you, his church, through repentance, through mercy, through love. Who incarnate goes cross-bound to crush sin and Satan himself, swallowing up death forever. In the ups and downs of your life, that is your God. Behold him today. A Mount Transfiguration top experience. Glorious. But behold him soon, too, in the valley of the shadow of Lent. Behold him then on Easter morning, the battle over, the victory won. Up high, down low, the only God you'll ever fully, truly know. Bill Cosby said, "You did this to me." But we know through the transfiguration today, through his incarnation, through his suffering, through his death, and through Easter, the open tomb. That's how we hear God say, "I did this for you. I did this for you." Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.